From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? It is Wednesday, April 13th, 2016. That's right, it is Hump Day, and you are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports on this lovely weekday afternoon. I am your host, Al Martin. We've got a fun-filled hour in store for all of you out there. Now, I thought that we were done talking to this man, but, you know, he was so adamant in letting his voice be known about the whole situation concerning Denzel Valentine, and Deontay Davis, and, of course, Josh Jackson, and he wanted to chime in on all of the hoopla that's surrounded in, hoopla and conversation that's surrounded around the Michigan State men's basketball program. So, DeShawn Tate, men's college basketball reporter for CBS Radio 92.9, The Game in the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, is going to join us. It is always a fun time chatting with DeShawn. You don't want to miss that. Of course, again, as I just alluded to, we will talk about Denzel Valentine and Deontay Davis in the upcoming NBA draft and thoughts on, of course, Josh Jackson deciding to not to take his basketball talents to Michigan State. Also, two legends in the sporting world here locally have passed away. You'll find out who in literally just a second. Also, the Detroit Pistons, they are in the playoffs, and we do know who their first-round matchup will be against, all right? And we'll give you a preview of that matchup. Also, Jim Harbaugh, he is silent no more. It took just 5 days, okay? Just 5 days for Harbaugh to bite his tongue after everyone was waiting and anticipating his response to the NCAA banning satellite camps. You'll get to hear what he had to say. And also, a big loss for the Detroit Tigers, James McCann, out 2 to 4 weeks. So let's get to our current sports quick hit headliners, as we customarily do. And I first want to pass along, of course, just some sad news. Former Detroit Tigers broadcaster Paul Carey, who retired in 1991 after broadcasting Detroit Tigers baseball for 19 years, he passed away last night at the age of 88. Now, he had been in a hospice for about 6 weeks, according to his wife. He died of complications from chronic obstructive pulmonary disease and also heart disease. And also passing away, this news just breaking through this morning, we found out that last night, legendary Lansing area hoops coach Paul Cook also passed away. Cook is fourth all-time in wins in the state of Michigan in boys basketball with 828 wins and led Lansing Eastern to the 1980 Class A state title. He also led the Lansing Catholic girls to a state title in 1995. Cook was 89 years old. And as I woke up this morning and checked my Facebook page, I saw that there were a few tributes that I would like to read here live on the air later on in the show. So we'll have more on the passing of Paul Cook and Paul Carey in just a moment. All right, moving forward, the Detroit Tigers snapped a 2-game losing skid yesterday with an 8-2 victory over the Pittsburgh Pirates. Detroit hammered out 14 hits, with 13 of them coming from the first 5 guys in the order. Now, Justin Upton hit his first home run as a Tig in the first inning, and Ian Kinsler went deep in the 7th. Anibal Sanchez was solid, allowing just 2 runs in 5-plus innings of work before the Tiger bullpen kept Pittsburgh off the board the rest of the way. Now, the two teams will meet again tonight, but this time in Pittsburgh, with the first pitch scheduled for 7:05 p.m. The Detroit Pistons now know who they will be squaring off against in the first round of the NBA playoffs. It will be LeBron James. That's right, King James and company, the number one seed Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference. Detroit fell to Miami last night, which locked them in as the number 8 seed in the East, as Indiana won to clinch the 7th seed. They will take on Toronto in the first round. Now, the Pistons have taken 2 out of the 3 meetings with the Cavs this year, including 1 on Cleveland's home court. Now, the two teams will actually face off in their regular season finale tonight. Kind of ironic, right? Maybe a first-round preview here before starting their playoff series this weekend. Also, it's going to be a tough night for many NBA fans out there as one of the NBA's all-time greats will play his final game. I'm talking about Kobe Bean Bryant. That's right, the Black Mamba. He will hit the hardwood for the last time as the LA Lakers play host to the Utah Jazz. Kobe is a five-time NBA champion, two-time finals MVP, NBA MVP in 2008. It really surprises me still that Kobe just won the MVP one time in his career. 18-time All-Star and ranks third all-time in scoring in NBA history. Now, tonight brings an end to his 20th season with the Lakers, which is an NBA record for most seasons played with the team. The game can be seen tonight at 10:30 on ESPN2. Not even ESPN. They actually are broadcasting the Warriors as they go for that Bulls record tonight. So that's what ESPN will be broadcasting. So I don't know. Maybe is that disrespectful that Kobe's going to be on ESPN2 instead of ESPN? I don't know. Riddle me that. All right. University of Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh, he ripped the NCAA for their decision to ban satellite camps. Now, Harbaugh responded to the ruling in an interview with Sports Illustrated, saying, quote, "The image that comes to my mind is guys in a back room smoking cigars, doing what they perceive is best for them. It certainly isn't the best thing for the youngsters. It's not the best thing for the student athletes. The new rule bans college coaches from leaving their campus to participate in summer camps held for high school prospects. The satellite camps were recruiting instruments used by many football programs, but Harbaugh became the poster child for playing his loudest and most frequently last year during the first summer as Michigan's coach, just really having satellite camps. It felt like every week, all right? So we'll elaborate more on Jim Harbaugh's comments later on in the show. You don't want to miss that, all right? The Michigan State Spartans baseball team took down the Michigan Wolverines yesterday, 11-5, the final of that one. An 8-run sixth inning lifted the Michigan State baseball team past number 22 Michigan in a non-conference game on Tuesday afternoon at McLane Stadium. The Spartans' 8-run inning snapped a 2-2 tie as they went on to their season record, moved on to their season record 22-6. The Spartans were led by Jordan Zimmerman. He was fantastic. The Spartans will travel to Comerica Park today to take on CMU at 7:05 p.m. Also want to note, the Michigan State softball team returns to East Lansing for four games this week after six straight contests on the road. MSU takes on number 2 Michigan at Sekia Stadium today at 4:30 p.m. After today's contest, Michigan State will host Indiana in a three-game series that begins Friday at 4 p.m. And also, it's official, former Michigan State women's basketball player Ariel Powers will be one of 12 prospects to attend the WNBA draft this Thursday in Connecticut. Powers is looking to become the 6th Spartan selected in the WNBA draft. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open. If you want to be a part of today's airwaves, simply call in by dialing 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I will read it live here on the air. You can also even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Without further ado, let's start the show.
Forever flattered when people would refer to Ernie and Paul. It just, still today, people say, I used to listen to you and Ernie, or Ernie and you, and had the radio under our pillow for the West Coast games and that sort of thing. It's flattering to be remembered, but I was really flattered to be with Ernie for all those years. He lived his faith, what he did, and that showed in his broadcasts, and I think it, some of it rubbed off on me. I hope it did. I was a smoker for 17 of the 19 years we were together, and some of those booths, especially the old Comiskey Park booth, was pretty tight, and not much air got through there. And we didn't have any air conditioning or any blower like that. But I never saw Ernie wave his hand to get rid of the smoke, and I'd get nervous when I'd start doing the play-by-play part, and I'd have a cigarette going all the time. And in December of 1989, Nancy and I quit, and we gave it about 2 weeks before I realized it's over. And I called him, and I said, Ernie, I've quit smoking. He said, that's the nicest Christmas gift I could have received. But he never said anything to me about it in all those years.
Yes, the legendary Paul Carey, who shared the booth alongside one of the greatest broadcasters to ever live, Ernie Harwell, as they did countless Detroit Tigers games. They are certainly staples in the world of sports when you discuss professional baseball, when you discuss the Detroit Tigers, when you discuss just the state of Michigan. Really sad news, folks. Really sad news. And, you know, it was really interesting to see the outpouring of tributes this morning when I logged on to Facebook. And I would like to read, if you guys would bear with me for a moment here, two tributes who are from two individuals who are certainly dear friends of mine. And, you know, it's so crazy, though. So crazy, because not only did Paul Carey pass away, but we found out this morning that last night, actually, legendary local basketball coach Paul Cook also passed away. Two Pauls who were certainly so gifted at what they did and who certainly impacted those around them for many years to come. Rest in peace, Paul Carey and Paul Cook. And I would like to read two tributes here. This one comes from Bob Every, chairman, of course, of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame and dear friend of Current Sports. He says, quote, "The king is dead. Long live the king. I regret very much to report the passing of one of Lansing's most beloved people, Paul Cook. When your heroes start passing on to the other side, you know you are getting older. It seems as though I have known Paul Cook all of my life. I will miss him, but I will never forget him." And there's actually a picture plastered along with Bob's status here, and a really fantastic picture. And he goes on to say, quote, "Paul is pictured with one of his star players, Sam Vincent, and another coaching icon, George Fox, at the 2014 Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame award ceremony, which honored Paul's two state championship teams, the 1980s Lansing Eastern boys basketball team and the 1995 Lansing Catholic Central girls basketball team. It was a happy time for Paul and his family, and the first time in the Hall's 39-year history that one coach was inducted in the same year with two different teams." Wow. God bless you, Coach. Thank you for making the difference in so many people's lives. Again, that status comes from Bob Every, who is the chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, who knew Paul Cook very well. And also, my former boss at Channel 6 News, WLNS-TV6, Fred Heumann, he sent this status out to the social media world. Quote, "Lost two legends last night and two men I looked up to and admired, both named Paul. Paul Carey was the consummate pro and a true gentleman. One of the reasons I got into the business. The story or the game was never about him. He became a very good friend and a member of my fantasy baseball league for 25 years. He always beat me and let me know it. I miss his golden deep laugh already. And Paul Cook, who was one of the first coaches I met and covered in my career, tough as nails on his players, but back at Lansing Eastern, he needed to be. Always a gentleman and very good to me. We are two Pauls and two people poor today. Rest in peace, Paul Carey and Paul Cook." You know, I started covering sports in this area back when I was a sophomore in college. I graduated from Michigan State in 2012, attended Michigan State starting in 2008. So I didn't really get the chance to get to know Paul Cook, but throughout many talks with individuals such as Fred or Bob Every, I've heard his name brought up many times about the consummate pro he was and will always be remembered for now. And I really wish that I could go back in time and meet the man, because I've heard so many great things about him. And when it comes to Paul Carey, when you talk about the world of sports broadcasting in general, his name is synonymous, of course, with the great Ernie Harwell. They were on the broadcast, broadcasting many Detroit Tigers baseball games for many years. And, it always tickles me anytime I get to go on YouTube to look at vintage footage of some of the greats of the past that have dined our industry. And Paul Carey was certainly one of those men. Boy, he will certainly be missed, as well as Paul Cook. And we encourage you all throughout this hour to call in if you knew either one of these individuals or had a fond memory of either one of them. I would like to know about it, all right? I'm a young sports reporter, and again, didn't get a chance to meet Paul Carey or Paul Cook, and I have lived vicariously when having that conversation when it comes to many individuals who did know those two. And I would like to hear your stories, and I would love to hear your memories. Please call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. All right, folks, well, we've got a great hour in store for you all, and I have to remind you all that we're going to have a bit of an interruption. So for those listening via your radio, we're going to have, actually, for the first time we've done this, a tornado siren test today. Yeah, come on, right? that will actually take place at 1:30. All right, so for those listening via your radio, you will experience a bit of interruption, so I want to give you a heads up on that. As far as our live stream goes via WKAR.org, I don't think that will be interrupted. And, of course, you will not be interrupted if you are currently looking at our live stream on Facebook.com. So I want to give you the heads up. Around 1:30 p.m., you will experience a bit of interruption. All right. Well, yesterday was such a jam-packed show. And in many ways, and I voiced this to close out yesterday's show, in many ways, I was a bit happy that I didn't have to sit here and address it in length. But of course, you guys know the two stories I'm talking about. I'm talking about, of course, one, Josh Jackson deciding now 2 days ago at 8:30 p.m. that he would be taking his basketball talents not to Mid-Michigan to play for Tom Izzo and the MSU men's basketball team, but to the University of Kansas under the tutelage of course, Bill Self. And not long after that, of course, we heard the news of Deontay Davis. Very next day, actually, around, 11:45 a.m. yesterday morning. Deontay Davis, freshman for the Michigan State men's basketball team last year from Muskegon. Deontay Davis deciding to forego further college years and take his basketball talents to the National Basketball Association and enter the NBA draft. And it got a lot of discussion, folks. And deservedly so. I mean, two big stories and two big L's for the Michigan State men's basketball team. And again, I want to get your thoughts on those stories. And Tom Izzo addressed both of those stories yesterday afternoon. So before we invite Isaac Constance, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, as well as Deshaun Tate, who covers men's college hoops for CBS Radio in Atlanta, Georgia, I want to play a few thoughts from Tom Izzo as he talked about, again, Deontay Davis deciding to forgo his sophomore year and head to the NBA, and Josh Jackson taking his talents to the University of Kansas. Here's what Izzo had to say.
You know, I'm excited for him. I'm still disappointed in the system always, because I don't know, it's kids like him that, you know, there's a chance to go and explore it, but, you know, I don't think the agents think that's the best route. So very difficult for a kid who's, you know, I think his numbers are high enough when we checked it out that he'll have a great shot at getting drafted in what I guess his coach thought was reasonable numbers. But it's tough. It's tough for him, tougher for him than it is for us. And the building will still be standing, and that one won't fall down, and we're not imploding, and there's a lot of good. Yeah, believe it or not, we're going to try. It's going to be difficult. I mean, it might be two-man basketball, but no, we're going to play, and we're going to be good, I think. You know, does that a little bit of a setback? Yeah, a little bit of a setback, but, you know, another, like they all say, somebody's loss is somebody's gain, and we'll have somebody step up. I'm not worried about that. No, I definitely worked with Didi and his high school coach, Keith Guy, and, we were all kind of working on it together. Was it a little surprising that you want to go all in when this new rule is you can explore it? But I don't know if anybody knows how to handle the new rule yet. You know, it just came out. So surprising, not totally. Surprising maybe that you do it without taking an agent, maybe a little bit. But, Didi is when you're long and pretty athletic, if you look at the draft and you look at it over the years, that's the kind of guys they draft more on potential than performance. And I don't think there's any question he's got enormous potential. Well, I always want him to stay. I mean, but I don't want him to stay for my sake. I want him to stay for theirs. You know, I think we'd still be better off if there was a 2-year rule, because I think it's hard to make a decision after your freshman year of college. I mean, you think about your freshman year of college, if you can think back that far, Freddie, that, you're actually, he's doing very well in school, but, you know, school's a pain, living situations in the dorm. There's so many things you go through your freshman year that second year is always easier. Yeah. And I think that if it was that way, it would be easier and better for the kids. But it's not, and so you have to adjust accordingly. If you're not, you know, there's no upsets unless you're a real good team. You know, if you don't go after the best players, and if you don't try to get some of the best players, you don't have one and done problems. You don't have where everybody wants to make losing a recruit is a big issue. I've lost a lot of them. I've lost a lot of them in my day, but I've gotten a lot of them. And you're right, we've got an incredible class coming in. I think we're going to have a very good team. I think you're going to see Aaron Harris and a guy like McQuaid really step up.
Again, that was head basketball coach of the Michigan State team, Tom Izzo, addressing, of course, Deontay Davis deciding to take his talents to the National Basketball Association, and Josh Jackson deciding to, of course, take his talents to Kansas. So, you know, first off, I want to say this. I must commend many Spartan fans out there, Isaac, because for the most part, I have not seen Michigan State basketball fans totally in panic and in awe of Deontay Davis going to the next level or Josh Jackson deciding not to come to East Lansing. So I want to commend most of Spartan Nation out there. And I think what a lot of that has to do with is because when you look at what's coming to this campus for Michigan State, first off, it's the best recruiting class that Tom Izzo has ever had. And Tom talked about it there. He's not panicking because, hey, I mean, he's got Nick Ward, Cassius Winston, Miles Bridges, and Joshua Langford coming to the program. Four game changers. Four young studs. And when you evaluate a player like a Miles Bridges, I mean, Miles Bridges is most likely, in my opinion, evaluating his game and evaluating what he was able to do throughout his entire high school career, that's a one-and-done kid. Miles Bridges will be a one-and-done kid, I think. He is that good. So, for the most part, I think that's the reason why there is no panic when looking at it. It's amazing when you look at it, though, because, you know, first off, you look at that heralded senior class, you know, Denzel Valentine, Bryn Forbes, Matt Costello, Kobe Wollenman, they were fantastic, and Denzel was the clear leader of that team. They're gone. Also, and this hasn't been brought up many times, but you look at Javon Bess deciding to transfer. Marvin Clark Jr. deciding to transfer. So there's going to be a lot of pieces that were instrumental to this team's success last year that are now going to be gone. And now, of course, Deontay Davis, who was absolutely fantastic in his freshman campaign with this team. So you evaluate that and you say, okay, guys who are currently on the roster who aren't leaving are going to have to step their game up. And I call out guys like Aaron Harris. Tom Izzo just talked about him. And also a guy like Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Niran Jr., who I hope will be healthy next year. It was really tough watching Tum Tum struggle with that plantar fasciitis injury problem. But those guys are going to have to assume new roles and get better. Simple as that. And the incoming talent for this squad, I'm not worried. They're going to be fantastic. Again, Ward, Winston, Bridges, and Langford are going to be great for this team. So I think when you look at the incoming talent and you look at the development that historically has been a staple to a Tom Izzo program, you're not in panic mode. Because, again, you got a Hall of Famer at the helm of this squad. And there's been a lot of debate when evaluating, you know, Mr. Deontay Davis, you know, making that jump to the NBA. I don't fault him whatsoever. Because who knows? Who knows what's going to happen next year? If he decides to return, who knows if he's going to get injured? Who knows if his draft stock, if he's going to hurt his draft stock? Anything can happen, folks. We've seen unpredictable scenarios happen in the world of sports all the time, on the daily, all right? So if Deontay Davis, you know, is keeping his ear close to what NBA execs and scouts have to say, and Tom Izzo helped in that process, without a doubt, and they're saying that you're going to be a top 20 pick, anywhere from 12 to 20, hey, that's moolah sitting there, okay? Why not make that jump? So I can't fault him, and you can't fault Josh Jackson, okay? This is a young 19-year-old kid who took his time and evaluating where he wanted to take his basketball talents, and he decided to make the right decision for him, okay? So in my opinion, you guys heard my rant yesterday to end the show. I don't fault either one of these young men, and I wish them the best. So I want to invite right now, I want to get the thoughts of course, Isaac Constance, engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, and also we have on the line Deshaun Tate. He covers men's college hoops for CBS Radio 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, Georgia. First off, welcome, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Doing good, Al. How about you?
Fantastic. Deshaun, what's up, my man?
Man, just another day in the office, bro. How are you?
I am great, man. Happy Wednesday. All right, first off, I want to start with Isaac. What was your reaction when both of these stories came out?
Yeah, obviously, for Spartan Nation, it was an overwhelming surge of disappointment. You couldn't imagine it any other way. These are two guys on the line, both five-star recruits. Deontay Davis was when he came here last year. But it's a big loss. At the same time, it was almost reminiscent of me, for me, of Michigan's Pro Day and Michigan's Signing Day when they had all of these stars come out and all of these Spartan fans were getting disappointed and really discouraged about the class that they brought in. Like you mentioned, let's not forget what became before this, in that Miles Bridges attends Michigan State University. Then you've got Cassius Winston, Nick Ward, Josh Langford. This is still, per 247sports.com, the number three recruiting class in the nation. This is still an incredible team that has the most five-star recruits for the 2016 class besides Duke and Kentucky. This is a team that will be fearsome next year, and I wouldn't sweat it too much. Of course, it's a disappointing turn of events for Spartan fans. They expected at least one of the two, but it could be so much worse.
Deshaun, initial reaction.
First of all, let me say this first and foremost, Al. I don't want anybody to get confused. Neither Jackson nor Davis is Jesus Shuttlesworth. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way right now. I can understand a little bit of the MSU disappointment, and like the other gentleman said, one of the biggest words or elephants in the room is discouragement. But you have to look at one thing, considering all that Tom Izzo has missed out on, from Jahlil Okafor to Karl Anthony Towns. I'm talking about guys that were right there in the running down to their last two or three commitments of choosing a school the same way as Jackson. You know, Tyus Jones, obviously Jackson, Tyler Ulis, Young that played at Kentucky, and Jabari Parker. And look at the success of Michigan State without being able to land those guys. So landing these one-and-done guys is not for everyone. I do think that in the case of a Deontay Davis, my personal opinion, I say go get the money. And I say that for one reason being, he has the opportunity to be selected ideally anywhere in the first round between selection 7 and 21 without the most offensively polished game. Still a little bit raw. We know about his shot blocking, rebounding ability, so on and so forth. I think if he comes back to Michigan State, he's relied upon a lot more in the front court. That could hurt his stock because he's exposed a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I think that from this standpoint, it's not necessarily being as much NBA talent ready for him as much as it possibly could be. What we all have to factor in at the end of the day when we're looking at our families, you know, ready to just not financially struggle at the end of the day. I don't think that we should put nearly as much emphasis on some of these rankings, number one player in the country like Josh Jackson, as much as we should the actual evaluation of some of these players and if they're even worthy of those rankings.
You know, and again, folks, if you're just not joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, of course, we are discussing the Josh Jackson and Deontay Davis situation. Deontay deciding to take his talents to the NBA and Josh taking his basketball talents to the University of Kansas. I also want to bring up this. I want to pose this question to both of you guys because this is something I thought about when looking at and evaluating Josh Jackson's decision to go to Kansas. And I always wonder this. And this is a conversation we have had here on the show before. But I want to pose this to you guys. Do you believe that the system that Tom Izzo runs, do you think that turns recruits off to a degree? Because if you, and I could bring up a situation, and your LSU Tigers, for instance, Isaac, this is a team that didn't make the NCAA tournament, but Ben Simmons, the style of play that they ran allowed Ben Simmons to just do his thing, to get his points. His stats were very sexy, but in a Tom Izzo system, it's all about the team. It's about having great components. And again, a perfect example of that is Denzel Valentine. Denzel Valentine is an unselfish player who also knows how to play within his means, and he understood the system and was able to flourish. But some guys, that system isn't for them. It's not for their game. They don't like to play in that system. And I wonder whether or not Josh evaluated that and said, you know what, I could maybe get more buckets if I went out here to Kansas. I think I'm going to go there. What do you think about that? I want to start with Isaac first, and then Deshaun, you chime in.
Well, thanks for bringing up LSU. I needed that reminder. But my main point would be I agree with you because I do think that it turns off players, the declared one-and-dones going into college. While Miles Bridges most likely is, I think this is also a newly developed trend for Tom Izzo to try to recruit these guys. He has for some time, but he demands a little bit more commitment than other coaches do to the program. For example, Deontay Davis leaving as a one-and-done becomes MSU's first since Zach Randolph. That's over 10 years ago, a while away. And I think this system is pretty much based on seniors teaching the youngins and then having those guys go through the system. It's really something that's incorporated into every player that comes to Michigan State, and it should be. I think it's effective. I think it makes for more longevity and success over the long run of a team. Now, with that being said, sometimes that does mean you miss out on Jahlil Okafor, on Karl-Anthony Towns, now Josh Jackson. That's the byproduct, and it's not pretty necessarily when you miss out on all of those guys. At the same time, I think in the long run, it's still effective.
Deshaun, what do you think about the system that Tom runs? Do you think it turns off big-time recruits to a degree?
I think it does tend to turn them off just by the way that college basketball, and even in the NBA and the pros at the next level, the way that everything is structured with run-and-gun offense and, you know, me, give me the ball. None of it is hardly ever defensively-minded system type brand of basketball. As you can tell, if you haven't never seen James Harden play, you know, but from this standpoint alone, being that as far as his system goes, these are the things that you're going to do when you're coming to Michigan State. You're going to rebound. You're going to get after loose balls, second chance points, get on the ground, get your nails dirty, get, you know, it's going to be a grinded out style of basketball. Is very fundamentally sound. It's very, you know, basic, and he makes it really simple, but you're going to work hard, and that's something that clearly a lot of guys don't want to do today in comparison to the recruits that he used to, that he did get at one point when going after Mateen Cleaves, who was a highly rated point guard coming out at the time back in, I think, 96. So guys like that, they embraced it a lot more, that brand of basketball then versus what they do now. But I will say this, you know, if you're not willing to do those little things that Tom Izzo is requiring you to do, because this isn't going to be all about you and having the ball in your hands. At the end of the day, as the pros is a player's league, college, the collegiate game, is a coach's league. And you know what, Izzo doesn't care who you are. And I think that's something that Michigan State fans, amongst others around the country, need to remember and they need to embrace. That's the last brand of basketball that we're probably going to see for a long time, because he's just really sold on the way that he coaches teams, and he's been successful at it. This isn't just Tom Izzo being stubborn because he wants it to be his way, right, and it's not working. We're talking about a guy with 7 Final Fours up underneath his belt, you know. So from that standpoint, if you're not willing to do what he's asking you to do, then you're going to come over here and you're going to sit next to me. I don't care if you're the number one recruited player in the country or if you're the number 100 recruited player in the country. At the end of the day, that brand that he has brought to East Lansing has been respected, and most definitely since the year of 2000. It's a defensive brand of basketball, and I tell you what, a lot of those kids, they weren't, what was that, year 2000, here we are, 16 years. A lot of those kids were maybe, what, 2 years old at that point now? So, but he's recruiting that we're number one in the country like a Josh Jackson. So from that standpoint, you know, you kind of have to do some different things that people think Tom Izzo should do, but I think he's doing the right thing by sticking to his gun.
Very true, Deshaun and Isaac. And I really like the tweet that Mr. Basketball of the state of Michigan, Cassius Winston, sent out right after the news broke. Of course, Josh deciding to go to Kansas instead of Michigan State. Quote, everybody chill out on my bro, Josh. He had to make the best decision for him. And MSU, calm down. We gonna be all right. Definitely a saying taken from Kendrick Lamar. And then he added, actually, Miles Bridges, his Twitter handle, at Miles Bridges 01. And I think he's exactly right. I mean, I think Cassius Winston and Miles and Nick and Josh, coupled with the current players who are returning from Michigan State, this team is going to be good regardless if Josh Jackson is a part of the roster or not. I want to bring up this. Now, I think this is a bit telling, fellas, when you really evaluate the NBA draft and what NBA coaches and execs look for when the draft occurs. And I just entertain this thought here. You look at Denzel Valentine. This is a guy who had National Player of the Year awards falling out of his pocket this past season, right? Let's look at Denzel's stats. I mean, 19.4 points per game. Average, you know, under 3 assists per game. Almost 8 rebounds per game. Almost 8 assists per game. Unbelievable player. He shot 46% from the floor and averaged 32 minutes of work each and every night on the hardwood. Now, you compare those stats. Again, National Player of the Year awards left and right for Denzel Valentine. He was a runner-up for the big one, the Wooden Award. And you look at Deontay Davis as a freshman, what, 7.4 points per game, almost 2 blocks per game, a great defensive player, and almost 6 rebounds per game. Now, those stats pale in comparison to that of Denzel Valentine, yet on just about every NBA draft preview I read, Denzel Valentine is slated to go after Deontay Davis, not before. Gentlemen, do you have a problem with the evaluation process that is the NBA draft? Deshaun first, and we'll go to Isaac.
I do have a problem with it to an extent. I do believe that it's almost like, what kind of example are you setting for the kids? You know, I mean, we're talking about a guy like Denzel Valentine who stuck in there all 4 years. How critical is that? And that just goes to show, you know, in a year like this where the seniors reign supreme along with Buddy Hield and so many other guys, some of them cut down nets out there in Houston, and I had to sit out there and kind of watch that thing as a guy who loves Michigan State. So, you know, with that, you're gaining so many other things that's making you a little bit more NBA ready. Obviously, you're playing up against some of the best competition, especially if you're under the Michigan State program. And with Tom Izzo, you're going to play, you know, in a really tough conference every single day, every single game, rather, and you're going to play on the biggest stages, that's for sure, throughout the course of a four-year career, even in some cases a one- or two-year season. So, you know, from that standpoint, I like to think that you're a lot more NBA ready. The sad part is, for the as far as the NBA goes, is that they consider guys to come out after their senior year and be 22, 23 years old, and people are calling them old, you know. People were saying the same thing about Adrian Payne when he came out. You know, he just being one of the older guys, but really, what is their ceiling like? The NBA is drafting guys strictly off of potential and regard. You know, you just have to see a couple flashes here and there. We're seeing the same thing kind of with Scal LaBissiere of Kentucky, who's still probably considered to be a lottery pick. And you know, at the end of the day, it's just going to come down to Denzel Valentine's mentality. We know guys, you know, certain NBA GMs are going to choose over him the same way they did Draymond Green, amongst other guys. And you just have to go out there and make them pay for it. But I really, really don't believe, although that Deontay Davis was really ready necessarily from a talent and a skill standpoint. Of course, he can get much better. But I think we could say the same thing about every single underclassman entering into the NBA draft in June.
Isaac?
Yeah, I think potential in general is just kind of a funny notion. You know, what defines a player with a bunch of potential? Certainly there are certain things such as Anthony Davis, Carl Anthony Towns. These guys come out and they, you can tell they've got a glimmer of potential to them. They're so exciting, the length, the athleticism, all of the raw intangibles after just playing for a few years. That's really attractive. But for other players, I don't quite get it. Let me read you the top five scores from college basketball last year. I did not memorize this, I'm sad to say. But Tyler Harvey, Zeke Woodley, Denzel Livingston, Tyler Hawes, and Damian Lee. Mm-hmm. I've heard of one of those guys. Mm-hmm. And I'm a pretty knowledgeable basketball fan. So I just think there is a certain thing where you have to look at stats in college and say, these might not always translate. You have to look in the broader spectrum. At the same time, I can also reel off names like Darko Milicic, which might hurt you, Al. I apologize for that.
I'm crying right now.
But Andrea Bargnani, guys who in the NBA just haven't panned out. James Young, even that example recently, drafted high by the Boston Celtics, hadn't done a thing in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So all of these guys, all of these examples, it can swing either way. Certainly you don't want to draft off of college stats alone.
Right.
But at the same time, when you base it off of potential without ever seeing a guy play like Darko Milicic or Dante Exum, it can be twice as catastrophic.
Well, the big thing here, gentlemen, is, of course, I agree with both of you guys. I mean, when that's exactly what the NBA looks for. Potential and how high is that ceiling? And also another layer to this conversation has to do with just the dynamic that is the NBA today. It's a guard-heavy league. You can get guards left and right, all right? And it's going to be a guard-heavy draft. Let's be honest here. But it's so rare when you find a big man who can do it all. And I think that's what makes a guy like, you know, to go into my Detroit Pistons here, a guy like Andre Drummond so valuable to the franchise, because there's not many Andre Drummonds in the league right now. You know what I mean? But when it comes to guards, oh my goodness. I mean, you can go arguably team after team after team in the NBA and list at least one prolific guard. It's really remarkable. Yeah. But when you get a big man like a Deontay Davis, and looking at, you know, the career that Deontay Davis, the very brief career that Deontay Davis had here at Michigan State his freshman year, I mean, my goodness, he was a blocking machine. I mean, he was a force to be reckoned with. Now, when it comes to the offensive game, he certainly has some ways to go. He needs to become more polished. We all know that. But when you see the potential for Deontay Davis, you sit there and just kind of salivate at the mouth. And if you're like, okay, if we put some pounds on him, if we bulk him up a little bit, if we get him in our summer camp program and get him playing in the summer league and get him polished, oh, he could be an animal. So that's why he's going to be drafted so high. Gentlemen, final thoughts on this subject before we hit our break here. I'm putting you on the spot here, Deshaun, but I want to know about the transfers of Marvin Clark Jr. and Javon Best. Why do you think those two decided to transfer? And I know I'm taking a shot in the dark here, but what do you think they'll end up right now? Because it's so hard to try and figure out where a player is transferring who's already in college to another college. It's much easier, actually. Riddle me this. It's much easier to find out, you know, where a high school recruit is going to go to college than evaluating where a transfer is going to go that's already played some ball collegiately. So do you know where those two are going to go at all?
I can't say that I know. My initial thought on the transfer is just the same that it is for guys like Josh Jackson as it is for Deontay Davis. The guys have to make the best decisions for themselves and their futures and their families and what will come after. So as far as where they'll go, I'm not sure. If I'm just thinking initially just a good fit for them, assuming that it could be better than a low major program, but at least a mid-major, hoping that it'll turn into something more of a Power Five conference team. I'm thinking something along the lines, especially considering, all things considered, where they come from. I really don't think that Wichita State would be a bad choice for either of them, considering what they're losing in their guard play and what they're bringing back. They've got the front court that they lacked this year. You can get guards from anywhere, as you just said. I think that going over there together, hey, but both of them playing the power four position at Michigan State, that is, I hate that had to happen, but at the end of the day, mm-hmm. both of them can play their natural positions, which is probably the three or something closer around that versus playing power forward and give Greg Marshall a reason to say, hey, this is why I got that coaching extension.
Right. Very true. All right. Well, Deshaun, thank you so much for your time this afternoon, brother. You keep it cool out in the ATL, all right?
Most certainly, man. Thank you.
You got it. All right. Let's hit our first break, Isaac. Is that really our first break? Wow, that's our first break. Oh, my goodness. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk about the Detroit Pistons as they are slated to meet the Cleveland Cavaliers in the first round. Also, Jim Harbaugh ripping, and I do mean ripping, the NCAA. You don't want to miss that and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and doing some simple Googling here during that brief break, Isaac. I see that Marvin Clark, I don't know if he's already visited or is slated to visit, but it's saying that he is to visit Providence. So Providence, and also I'm
interesting.
I'm also seeing another college in there, also St. John's. Okay. As well. So nothing on Best. Couldn't find anything on Best. But, oh, yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. So Providence, it is slated that he is to visit campus. He already has, actually. So this article was written, what, April 7th. So actually this past weekend he visited Providence. So who knows? So we will certainly keep you guys abreast once Clark and Best have decided to where they want to transfer to. Again, you can listen to Current Sports via our web as well, not just on your radio at WKAR.org. And also we have our live stream going on at Facebook.com. Those of you who are my Facebook friend, you can see behind the scenes of how we do things here. And I do have one comment to read here. Drew Hartman is weighing in on the Detroit Pistons. He says, quote, huge to see Detroit in the playoffs since the 08-09 season. And I totally agree, Drew. It is huge. And we got to enjoy this. We certainly have to enjoy this because it's been a while since we've seen the red, white, and royal blue don the postseason. And with Tuesday night's loss to the Miami Heat, we do know who the Pistons will play in the first round of the playoffs. And that will be the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, the Cavs swept the Pistons, and I hate to bring up old memories, but the Cavs swept the Pistons in a first-round series back in 2009, which, again, was the last time the Pistons reached the postseason. And going into tonight, because it's a bit of a preview here. Now, I would imagine with both teams have already clinching the spot in the playoffs, both teams are already clinching the 1 and the 8 spot, that we won't see elongated minutes from either the Pistons or the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. I don't think we'll see much of LeBron James, much of Reggie Jackson and company. But, you know, I guess you can call it a bit of a preview, even though they're going to be going half speed out there. But the Pistons going into tonight are 2-1 on the series. between the Cavaliers this season. The Pistons, again, I keep going back to this February 22nd game because that was the turning point for me that really, you know, gave us a window into the possibility that the Pistons could make the playoffs this year. They beat the Cavs 96-88 on February 22nd on the road at Cleveland. And then from then, they went on a nice hot streak that really gave them some headway in the Eastern Conference. Interesting stat here via the Detroit Free Press. It says that, quote, with an offensive rating of 108.2 points per 100 possessions, the Cavs will take a top five offense into the postseason. And then it goes on to say that's not surprising considering the presence of James, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, and a host of shooters. But I will say, though, I mentioned Isaac that I wanted this matchup because, again, you know, it puts the Pistons on a national stage. It does a lot for the franchise, again, that hasn't been to the postseason in 6 years we're talking about here. So to be on the national stage, they will naturally get a lot of attention because of LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Every year LeBron is expected to at least get to the finals, let alone win the entire enchilada, especially with a lot of pressure on him now since he has decided to go back to Cleveland. So it puts the Pistons on a national stage. And again, it's a good test to see exactly how far are the Pistons away from winning and competing even for an NBA championship. So this is going to be healthy for this team. It's going to help this team grow leaps and bounds. So I wanted this matchup. I wanted to see this. And it's always great getting to see, one of the greatest players to ever play the game, LeBron James. So when you look at this matchup, I want to put this out there because, again, the Pistons may have a 2-1 season series lead, but the playoffs are the playoffs. It is an entirely different season. Everything ramps up a bit. Now, I will say I'm a bit nervous when looking at the Pistons on the defensive end of the court, because the Pistons have a horrible tendency to just take nights off on the defensive end of the floor, and they get into shootouts. And you see moments, though. You know, you saw a moment at the very beginning of the fourth quarter against the Miami Heat this week in which the Pistons just were totally locked in. Everybody's got the knees bent, you know, the shorts are up, and they are communicating. And then you see moments where they just let, you know, Dwayne Wade just trolley up in the paint for an easy layup. So consistency on the defensive end has to be there. Reggie Jackson has to continue to be Reggie Jackson. Reggie Jackson has been absolutely phenomenal this season. And he is a big reason as to why the Pistons were able to clinch a spot in the NBA playoffs. He is a scoring juggernaut and has even shown from time to time a good defensive presence as well. And also, you know, I got to call out Andre Drummond because I think, you know, Andre Drummond, he does become a hindrance to a degree, Isaac, because of the whole hack of Drummond. You know, you can't rely on him to hit free throws, you know, down the stretch of a basketball game if it's tight and he has to sit out. And actually, there's an interesting article that was written about Andre Drummond when it comes to his sulking against the Oklahoma City Thunder. That was the game in which they actually clinched a playoff spot. And Drummond was actually seen on the bench isolated from the rest of his teammates. As his teammates celebrated, Drummond just sat there in isolation, just kind of clapping, not really in tune with anything. And to be frank, he looked, you know, a little bit ticked off. I don't know what about. And he came out and said, you know, I apologize. I shouldn't have acted that way, but I was going through something. And he said that it hit him that one of his close friends had passed away not too long ago, and he had always wanted his friend to see him make the playoffs, and he wouldn't be there for that. So I totally understand now. But Andre Drummond has to be Andre Drummond. He's got to be, you know, a guy who's there consistently from the very start to the end of the game. It's going to be a fun series, though.
It will. And when I look to this upcoming matchup between these two, first off, like you said, it's the playoffs.
Right.
Now, I love the Pistons. I love how they've really tightened the ship up for the last, probably 3 months of the regular season. They really got it together, got way above 500, and have done just a marvelous job of maneuvering themselves into a playoff position.
Mm-hmm.
But a 2-1 record against the Cavs in the regular season means nothing. This is a team that had injuries throughout most of the regular season. It might be a good matchup in some ways in that Andre Drummond can be dominant since the Cavs like to rotate power forwards in at that center position.
Right.
But at the same time, LeBron James versus Marquise or Marcus Morris or versus Tobias Harris, That's not a matchup I like. So yeah. I think this one goes fairly short.
But I will say, putting the pulse, you know, putting the hand to the pulse of Pistons fans out there, they did want this matchup. The majority of them, not for my reason that I stated, but because the Cavaliers look a bit dismantled. I will say that. They look like there's something going on in the locker room. LeBron James doesn't look happy there. I'm just not sold on Cleveland going all the way and reaching the finals this year. We'll see, though. It is the Eastern Conference, all right? Quick caller before we say bye-bye to all of you out there. Man, time flies when you're having fun, folks. We have Ray on line one. My man Ray, how you doing?
You call that fun, having to talk to Isaac?
What's that?
I'm just teasing. Yeah. I'm just teasing.
You know what?
Hey,
you know what?
You know, if you were Donald Trump over there, he would fire that guy for not going to get you that fox I told him about.
Oh, my goodness. Ray is still has been talking
barrel.
About this fox.
Yeah,
about,
the fox.
About the Cracker Barrel
now.
For
hey,
years.
we talked about Spieth, you know, the last time I talked to you, and can you believe had a 7-under lead to 2-under, and he goes to the 10th and 11th hole, he bogeys him, and then he puts two in the water. The second one looked like some of my shots, just barely made it to the water.
Right. It was a tough outing for Jordan Spieth, and I just think that he got a bit overconfident on that back nine, Ray. You know, on the 12th, he tried to go for the pin, and he admitted that he shouldn't have gone for the pin. You know, he should have played it safe, and that led to his demise and opened the door for Danny Willett to really just take advantage. You got to feel bad for Spieth, though. It was a bit awkward watching him afterwards having to put on the green jacket to Danny Willett, because Spieth knows that he just lost that. He knows that it was all on him.
Well, he's only 22, though.
Right, he's young, right.
He did recover. I think he's still going to be a great golfer, but he's going to have to learn from that, you know, the first one kind of hit the top of the green and then rolled in, but the second one was really terrible. I don't know what happened there, but he'll learn from it. He's still young. He's got a lot of times to win a lot more majors.
Very true. And I think, you know, Jordan Spieth, in my opinion, and looking at what he was able to do throughout the majority of his four rounds at the Masters, again, leading away for, what, 7 rounds straight dating back to last year. I mean, Jordan Spieth, in my opinion, Ray, is the best golfer on the planet right now, despite what occurred on Sunday.
Well, he had two majors, and he ended up in second and fourth in the other two last year.
Right, exactly.
Tiger stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can't put him with Tiger or Jack yet. I mean, he's going to have
no. He's too young.
You got to do this 8 or 10 years of longevity like Jack and Tiger did.
Right, totally agree.
And Tiger may be back for the U.S. Open. I heard he's hitting drives, so maybe he'll be back for the U.S. Open.
I'm hoping, Ray. I mean, I just want to see him out there. I know that we probably won't see the Tiger Woods that we saw in the early 2000s leading all the way up until 2008, but man, oh, man, I just want to see him out there playing.
Well, he's had 3 back surgeries, you know, so you can't put too much pressure on him. But, you know, if anybody can recover from it, Tiger or Jack could have did that, you know, back in their day.
Very true.
We'll see. Take care, buddy.
Ray, thanks so much, my man. All right, folks, with just a minute left here in the show, I got to remind you all that, hey, Current Sports TV tapes tonight at 6 p.m. We will be inviting DeAndre Carter, motivational speaker and author of Demand Greatness, Success is Yours, tonight at 6 p.m. at the WKAR-TV studios on the campus of Michigan State University inside of the Communication Arts and Sciences Building. We will be taping that episode. If you can't join us in the live studio audience, you can catch it tomorrow night at 10:30 p.m. on WKAR-TV. I want to give a big thanks to all of our listeners out there, including Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio down in Atlanta, Georgia. Thanks to Deshaun for joining us on today's show. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care, and as always, be easy, people.